Welcome to Peak to Pit. This is Allie Peak alongside TJ Pittinger. We missed you last week with the Thanksgiving break going on, but we're back and one of us has a game to cheer for this weekend.
I've got a game to cheer for. It just doesn't involve my team. Actually,
well, Liberty, right?
I'll say that. Liberty plays Coastal, which I've said this before, but Coastal was our huge rival when I was in school there. They're 9-0, we're 9-1. We lost a game 2 weeks ago. We haven't got a chance to talk about it because we took last week off, but lost a game 2 weeks ago at NC State thanks to a blocked field goal, and it was heartbreaking, but still 9-1, play Coastal this weekend. Huge, like, kind of in the past rivalry. Don't play every year, but so that'll be fun. So yeah, I have somebody to cheer for, and I can wear that ugly shade of orange that the Vols wear. So I have that to cheer for as well. So
ew, creamsicle orange.
I do like it on Sundays though. Like, I think that's the Bucks best uniform.
Yeah, I'm okay with that for the Bucks.
The creamsicle orange Bucko Brooks is fantastic. Outside of that, how was your Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was good, smaller than normal. Some of my siblings, you know, when everybody gets married, every once in a while, you got to indulge the other side of the family. So that made it a little bit smaller than normal, but it was fun. It was good. It was at our house, which I like to do because then my kids can destroy my stuff instead of somebody else's. Yeah, it was fun. How was yours?
It was good. We didn't make the rounds to all of the family in the same day. So we went to my mom's on Thursday. So on Thanksgiving Day, came home and just chilled out. Then on Friday morning, we went to brunch, just us four. We went and walked the Tampa River Walk, which is, it got a lot hotter than I was expecting. Like, it's two and a quarter miles. And we did it there and back. So it's like 4.5 miles. And we were sweating our butts off by the time we got back to Eulalie there on the River Walk. So we did that. And then Saturday, we went over to my dad's and had lunch with them. So it was kind of a 3-day marathon of events and things, but it was a lot of fun and we enjoyed it. So ate way too much. And so I've been running every night since then.
There you go. I have not, but I have been eating all the leftover pie that's in my refrigerator. So
I wish you guys played Alabama this week so I could come get the pie this week. So Florida State doesn't have a game this weekend. Had a couple of games canceled. We can kind of run through this and then get into Florida because they've actually been playing. But 2 weeks ago, I was up in Savannah. Again, we haven't talked about this, but I was up in Savannah and got a text that Florida State wasn't going to be playing against Clemson. Apparently, Clemson traveled with a player that was confirmed positive after they landed. He tested before. Pretty stupid protocol by the ACC, which has since been changed to testing on Thursday as opposed to Friday. I don't know how it just now.
I don't understand either. And I don't think they're the only conference because I have heard that multiple times that, like, oh, we're in the air. We don't know until we land. Like, that just seems really dumb.
That seems pretty idiotic really to me that you would test to check and then
not wait for the results before you put everybody in a tiny tin can.
Right. Perfect. And I totally get both sides of this because if Florida and their 4-8 year would have been playing Alabama and done the same thing, we would say the same thing. We would say that they had backed out. Like, I get the trolls, but I also 100% get the medical staff saying you can't travel with a player that's positive and understand incubation periods and everything else and then expect us to really play that game. And so, pretty stupid. I don't know that it's necessarily done by Clemson because it sounds like it's what everyone has been doing. What I will say is there was a game earlier when Florida State traveled up to Louisville that Florida State had players that tested positive but were symptomatic and they didn't let them travel.
Yeah.
And so to me, that shows a little bit more foresight.
But to be fair to Clemson, though, I had read that this player didn't feel well in the beginning of the week, so they didn't practice him. He got 2 negative tests in a row and then felt better. So he went back to practice. So his positive tests, like we just said, happened on Friday. They didn't get the results until he had landed. So it seems like they really were doing the right thing at the beginning of the week. He tested negative twice, felt better. So then they were like, okay, well, that's not what he has. Because it's not like there aren't other sicknesses out there that everybody gets, you know, we just have to live in this like hypersensitive time because of what's going on with COVID, but it's not out of the realm of possibilities for somebody to not feel well and have something that isn't COVID.
I think the blame lies less with Clemson, because different medical experts are going to interpret what is safe and okay in different ways.
Absolutely.
Right?
And so this is the conference's fault.
The ACC. Yeah. It's the ACC's protocol. Because again, why would you ever have travel after testing? Like,
well,
to me,
and
it's like
the ACC should have been the one that had an opinion on it. The ACC basically was like, I don't know, y'all figure it out, which is ridiculous, because that's what turns this into Clemson being pissed because they're chasing a title. They want the next win. Honestly, on their record, they want the next win. They want some more film. They want an easy game where they can run up a 87 bajillion points. No offense. So I get why Clemson is pissed. And I do see what Florida State was saying too. I think Florida State would probably willing to gamble it if they were in Clemson's shoes. But I do see the idea that, like, wait a minute, you traveled this guy, he breathed all over your entire plane of players, but you want me to play them. Like, just because they haven't tested positive doesn't mean they won't. And again, to be fair to Clemson, we haven't heard anything about any sort of outbreak this week. So clearly it would have been on the overly cautious side on Florida State's part, but hindsight's 2020. We wouldn't have known that in the moment, but it's just dumb that the ACC didn't either say, yes, you're playing, or no, you aren't. It's stupid that it was left up to the teams, who each have completely different interests in this situation, to hash it out.
Yeah, for sure. If you're Florida State, and this was the biggest thing, you knew you were going to take a massive L there.
Right.
And Florida State is struggling with COVID issues now, and knew they were then, and they couldn't afford an even bigger breakout because of what may happen, because they didn't want to lose the games that were coming up after the Clemson game, right? Like, they didn't want to say, like, well, we'll play the one Clemson game and then we have a massive outbreak, we'll lose the next two. Well, they ended up losing the next two anyway, and then, right, again, ended up getting two more scheduled back. But, you know, again, it's really on the ACC. So that game got postponed, got canceled. Not going to be played again. Clemson wind their way into not having to basically getting a game removed off of their schedule. Dabo came up with the lame excuse of, we prepared for 11 games already, we should not have to prepare for a 12th.
Like every other year?
Yeah, like I Notre Dame had a game scheduled next week. And I'm sorry, on the 12th of December, a game that was being remade or made up. And it sounds like Clemson, being the darling of the ACC these days, was able to convince the folks there in North Carolina that they should not have to play that game, and that instead of them having to make up their game like Notre Dame had already agreed to do and was going to do, Clemson said that they should not have to. And so the ACC canceled Notre Dame's game and said, instead of making Clemson do what we all know they should, we will just make Notre Dame do what, Notre Dame no longer has to play that game. So pretty stupid. Dabo kind of whined his way into getting his way. That is certainly the way that the world works now. He who cries the loudest gets what he wants. So,
not just in football.
Oh, yeah, in every aspect of life. So Dabo was the biggest crybaby about this. And that was my biggest problem. I didn't really have a problem with Florida State canceling on an abundance of caution. I would not have had a problem with the game being played, but I understood that side. I didn't have a problem with Clemson being upset that they traveled all that way and then a game was canceled 3 hours before the kickoff. I completely understood both sides. It was the fact that Dabo acted like an absolute ass clown child, multimillionaire that gets paid.
He's
to
still
coach
talking a, about this, by the
still,
way.
Still whining about it, gets paid millions of dollars, does not think the players deserve any of that, and just puts his foot in his mouth every absolute chance that he gets. I almost want to apologize to Dan Mullen for calling him Baby Dabo at one point, because Dabo Sweeney is just the most, just the biggest ass clown that there ever was. Again, still whining about it 3 weeks later. To me, it was, I understand a lot of people have different takes about COVID and the pandemic and everything that goes along with it, but he literally whined like a child about potentially having to travel twice to play one football game when, 250,000 people have died of this disease. It just seemed very out of line. You know, we all have our personal beliefs on what we think of the pandemic, but crying about not being able to play football is definitely not high up on the list of what priorities should really be. So at the expense of not wanting to sound too much more like Dan Wolken, Florida State also had to, we had him on the pod and I told him I didn't like it. I just said like, hey man, I've seen your takes and stuff. I said, I really don't agree with you on much, but I do agree on this.
Right. And you agenda right today. So you're on.
Well, I said, you know, I don't agree with a lot of, you know, your takes on the virus and, you know, how you see things. We just see things differently on how we think the virus should be handled. But what we can agree on is Dabo is a whiny baby, and so we can find middle ground on that. And so he didn't really have much to say back. He, oh, okay, thanks, you know, whatever. So Florida State, then I was about an hour and 15 minutes outside of Tampa all the way up to Tallahassee and got a text that Florida State's game was being canceled. My guy that was pretty close to the program told me that if we made it through Friday night, we should be good to play. And so I left on Saturday morning to go to the game, meet up with some buddies. Fortunately, I left about an hour and a half late because if I'd have been more than halfway there, I'd been pretty pissed and also not knowing what to do. Like, should I keep going, go have lunch with them, come home? Being only an hour outside of town, I just turned right around in Ocala and came home. So, so that was kind of nice to not have to make that trip. Florida State's game's canceled. They are off again this week when they should have played Duke. They'll play Duke next week, knock on wood, and then Wake Forest the week after that. Wake Forest is pretty good. Duke is not. They're the only team with more losses than Florida State has on Florida State's schedule. And so a winnable game for Florida State, but you know, also a very losable game. Who really knows this year what will happen with them? And then the Wake Forest game will be pretty tough, but another game that Florida State could potentially win. So if they could pick up two more wins as opposed to getting beaten down by Clemson and Virginia, I think it's a pretty good trade-off.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think – I think that's a win. And I think, you know, importantly, your players and your coaches get two more games, which I like, you know, I know maybe the fans would look at it as a win or something, but it would suck for your season to just unexpectedly, that be it.
Yeah, no, that was the most upsetting part. It was like, you know, we all kind of were like joking around and like, oh, well, great. The season's over. I don't have to watch us lose again. But then you had the players kind of coming out and saying like, man, I'm a senior. I thought I was going to get to walk across that field with my mom. And then you're like,
yeah.
Okay, I don't care if we play Clemson and lose by 60. Like, I want that kid to get out there.
Exactly.
One more time. Like, there, you know, him getting to play and stuff like that's more than, you know, I'll take a beating when Florida State loses these next two games on Twitter and everything else. And I'm well aware of that, but I can, you know, I can meet people with the best of them. So the fact that the kids will get to play a couple more games is pretty cool and
happy for them. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I feel that you have earned the right to celebrate your senior day. I honestly think a lot of these schools, and I think high schools too, should have done senior day the first game of the year. Just get it out of the way. That way, no matter what happens, it got in. But that wasn't the way that this worked. I'm glad these guys are going to get at least, you know, most of the games that they were supposed to. And hey, there's no bowl game eligibility issues, so Florida State could have a bowl game too.
Well, what I will say is I don't expect this. I'm not necessarily predicting it, but Florida State could beat Duke for sure. And so then you get to 3-6. And if they can luck up and find a way to beat Wake Forest and get to 4-6, I think at 4-6, they probably do get into a bowl. You know, I think if they lose the next two and go 2-8, they probably don't. But I think 4-6 is close enough. You know, in a normal year, 4-6 probably turns into, you know, in a normal year, you play Clemson and Florida. So you have a couple more losses for sure, but one of your wins may get replaced with a loss. Like Notre Dame wouldn't have been on the schedule. You'd have played Syracuse. So I mean, that's close to 5-7, right? And so I think that at 4-6, I think Florida State has a decent chance of getting a bowl. And I think those practices would be really, really valuable. I mean, we may end up opting out of that bowl first thing in the morning on the bowl game day, but I think the practices leading up to it could be important. And you know, there's advantages to not playing in the bowl as well. Your coaches can just go out and recruit, which Florida State clearly needs. So I'm going to spin it as a positive either way. I think that if they can find a way to win these two games, I think that it kind of puts a positive spin on it for sure. Florida has been playing games. We didn't talk about the Vandy game that happened a couple of weeks ago, but Florida played Vanderbilt in kind of a slow start for the Gators. They had been starting out pretty quickly in a lot of games, but Vandy led 10-7 after the first quarter. Florida led 17-10 at halftime, and then Florida kind of put them away, and the game was, I don't want to say ever, I mean, the game was never in doubt, even being a one-score game at the half, but Florida ended up winning 38-17. Not the best Florida performance that we've seen this year. Certainly didn't
seems
look
to be
great.
Par for the course for Florida versus Vanderbilt, though. I mean, literally every year.
Yeah, for sure. Certainly looked like a little bit of a hangover game after a fantastic game against Arkansas. Florida seems to start slow, and they did it again this week on the offensive side of the ball. You know, and that's something they're going to have to get figured out. If not over these next two games, it's certainly when they go to Atlanta, which we kind of all assume they will, right? Like they just need to win one of the last two to get there. I think they'll be more up for those games, but they've got to be sharper to start games. You can't open against a better team like that. Yeah. Bama will go up 21-3 and never look back. So that's kind of the, you could do that against, you know, Vandy's the worst team in the SEC by far. And Kentucky's got a pretty bad offense. So, you know, but you know, at the end of the day, they won the games. The games were never really in question. But they certainly need to start a little quicker. And you hope you'd see that against Tennessee, but that's going to be a weird game this weekend with the weather. So, you know, what are your thoughts?
At least it's a 3:30 start, which is, you know, we've talked ad nauseum about this. I hate noon kicks. I don't think Florida plays well in general. I think, you know, when you're talking about a game that nobody's that super pumped for, a noon game just makes it even worse, like a game like Vandy. But Tennessee in the beginning of the season showed glimpses of promise. I don't think we've really seen it as much the last few weeks. They were decent against Auburn, even though I think they ended up losing by 13 was the final. But Tennessee is just a weird team to me. I think that they have the ability to be a lot better than they are. I think they have enough talent where they could be a problem for somebody. I don't think that Florida is in a position this year to ever really be caught off guard or surprised. I don't think that there is really such a thing as a trap game for this team in this season. So I'm definitely not going to say that. But this Tennessee team has the potential to be better than what we've seen. That being said, I'm sure Florida wins by a lot. We're going to have people that complain that we didn't score enough. I don't know if you saw this. I thought of you multiple times against during the Vandy game and the Kentucky game, because 2 weeks ago we talked about how you're pretty sure that Dan Mullen is padding Kyle Trask's stats and that he's calling the offense in a way that pads them. I just thought it was funny because Florida fans are pretty convinced that Dan Mullen is doing nothing to help Trask's win campaign.
Yeah.
Yes, and that he should be doing so much more, which basically means we're pretty sure that I am right, which is he's calling what he thinks works for this offense and he's not doing one thing or the other either way.
So the truth lies somewhere in the middle, right? The truth is that he is helping pad Trask stats, but not with that intention. But whether he is meaning to do it or not, that is essentially what he's doing. Now,
that's kind of a stupid statement, though, because
but what I'm saying is the way that Mullen is calling offenses, not in like a good or bad or like manipulative way, just the way that Mullen is calling the offense every game.
But can't you say this
is helping stats.
The offense of like any player that ends up winning the Heisman? Their offense was called in a way that got them stats. Well, that's the best player on the team, so the offense was called to get the ball to your best weapon. Like
I think we talked about that a little bit, just with the fact that, again, and this is the one that comes to mind, but I looked at all of them. Florida State had more rushing touchdowns than Jameis had passing touchdowns the year he won it. And so, yes, I understand that you're thinking there, but not necessarily. Like I think if Mullen thought
Mullen, he could have balanced touchdowns running and passing, he would. I don't think he thinks he can and have the offense be as successful. And I completely agree with that.
And I'm not saying that Mullen is doing it for the purpose of padding Kyle's stats. I think that it's an unintended consequence. Yeah. And you think a consequence is a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I just think it's kind of a quirky thing that
I think it's the word pad that throws me. Like, he has great stats because Florida does not have a balanced offense this year. I think that's a true statement. I think if Florida had a more balanced offense, Kyle Trask's stats would not be as good. That doesn't mean that he wouldn't be, you know, a great player, the same type of player he is, but I think they'd spread the ball around more if that was possible. I don't think they think it's possible. I did break down, and I tweeted this to you a couple weeks ago, but you were arguing with somebody back and forth about, you know, there being however many touchdowns, 8 or 9 touchdowns that were like 9 yards or in from Trask passing. And at least half of those, they had run the ball, the play previous for either no gain or negative yards. And so I do think that that's kind of indicative, again, of the bigger picture that, like, it's just not a balanced offense. That doesn't mean that, you know, he's looking at the scoreboard going, all right, well, I can get him a 3 yard pass here and that's going to set him another record. So what the hell, let's call it. I'm sure that happens on every team. And I'm sure that has happened for Florida this year at times. I found it interesting that
the other thing about that is there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing.
The people that are in my mentions and your mentions and stuff, they're like, I can't believe TJ had this take. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's just a product of what is happening.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that Mullen is a bad person and gonna like steal your Christmas presents on December 24th. And I'm not saying that Kyle Trask kicks puppies. I'm just saying that they throw more than they pass, and that's why his stats are up. Like, I don't know why that's such a controversial take.
Padding the stats, padding it to me at least implies doing something intentional for the stats. I think it's a fair statement to say Kyle Trask's stats are ridiculous this year because Florida does not have a balanced offense. I think that that's a fair statement. I'm totally on board with that. I think when you use the word pad, it just implies some sort of intention there. And I don't think the intention is padding his stats. I think the intention is winning football games. The side effect may be that his numbers are larger than they would be if Florida had a more balanced offense.
Yeah, and that has always been my take, and I'm sorry that UF fans have gotten triggered with the word padded. If I could have gone back in time and used a different word.
I think they're triggered that he isn't doing enough either, which I also think is absurd.
It is. Kyle Trask threw a touchdown again on first and goal from the 2 yard line. So that's this week against Kentucky. So again, let's not go crazy.
The game, Dan Mullen can't script the whole game. He doesn't know how each thing is going to play out. So he's got to do every single play, what puts Florida in the best position to get another play, another down, another score, another whatever. This isn't a video game that you play to rack up yardage or touchdown, you know, records or whatever else. It's a game that you play to win by whatever means necessary. I don't know. And, you know, I saw so many people arguing, you know, well, Saban does it for his guys, which, like, I don't even remember Saban ever making a single comment about any of his players that, you know, haven't gone on to win Heismans. Mullen was given an opportunity at the press conference on Saturday, essentially to sell Trask. And this is part of what people are upset about. And what he essentially said, this is not a direct quote, but he basically said, we're focused on winning games. If we win games, individual awards will come, but we're focused on the wins. But what statement do you want your head coach to make outside of that?
Yeah, it's weird to me that Florida fans are like, well, they're not running this public campaign for Trask's Heisman, and Mullen's not doing enough to help him get the. I mean, Trask has more touchdowns than anyone else in college football. That's in consideration by far. It's not even close. And LSU didn't run a campaign for Burrow's Heisman last year.
I remember Florida running Oklahoma. One for Tebow. I remember ESPN running one for Tebow. Yeah.
Oklahoma didn't run a campaign for Baker or Kyler, and we didn't run one for Jameis. And nobody does that, you know. So it's like I don't even know. Like
Because some schools have put up billboards and things like that. But
that's not a social media campaign. You know, you do stuff within it, like your college town, you know, but like you're not running like ads to try and.
Florida didn't put up a single billboard for Tim Tebow. I was in Gainesville at that time. There was not, that wasn't something that was done locally or otherwise. That's not, they don't, Florida hasn't, to my knowledge, I was 12 years old when Danny Werfel won the Heisman. So, I mean, I could be wrong on this, but to my knowledge, that's not something UF does. They'll honor you after the fact. If given the opportunity to, you know, sing your praises, they're not going to pass on it, but they're also not going to put up a billboard, quite literally not going to put up a billboard.
And they shouldn't. And there's no reason to, and nobody cares, right? Like you do that in Gainesville, and also, great. Yeah, everyone in Gainesville thinks that
Heisman voters. Do you think there's a single Heisman voter out there that doesn't know Kyle Trask's numbers? But if UF ran a social media campaign, they'd be well aware of it. That's kind of like the people that don't know there's an election on Monday and the election's Tuesday.
It's just kind of stupid. Here is a question related. So. I'm very sorry to UF fans for using the word padded. My final take on this is that Dan Mullen has called an unbalanced offense or has an unbalanced offense, and that is helping Trask. Doesn't mean it's a bad thing. Doesn't mean that he's doing it for malicious reasons. And even if he was, that's okay. It's not like amoral to want to get a guy more touchdowns, you know, like if.
But that's somebody wants to get more touchdowns. You know, they want touchdowns, period.
Yeah. Didn't Brett Favre, like when Michael Strahan was on like sack 21 and a half, like didn't Brett Favre just like fall down in front of him so that Michael Strahan could get the record? I mean, even that, like people, even if he was doing it for immoral or like to pad his stats, it's not a bad thing for him to do that. It was absurd to hear Florida's fans say that he's not doing enough when the second most impressive player in the country this year has been Mac Jones, and he has what, 13 more touchdowns than him? I mean, so like to say he's not doing enough is kind of funny. It's 11 more touchdowns. Sorry for the misquote. So speaking on the Heisman, my question is, barring a loss by Florida to Tennessee or LSU, and barring a, you know, Alabama doesn't lose a regular season game either, is the Heisman 100% locked up, or can Mac Jones still win it? In your opinion?
I think Mac Jones can still win it. I think the winner of the Heisman is probably the winner of the Florida-Alabama game.
So I do not feel like it's that cut and dry, but I do think it's close to that.
I think Lawrence is kind of distanced in this picture, really not on anything that he has done, but because Clemson has missed games, because he has missed games, I just don't think that the stats are there, the film is there. You know, maybe that changes. He has some world-beating performance against Notre Dame in the ACC championship game. I don't know. I think Justin Fields, Ohio State's not going to have a big enough body of work for him to. I think for people to justify voting for him, even if they actually think he's the most talented person out there, I do think people are swayed by a great story. I think Kyle Trask is a great story. But I just, outside of those four, I don't really, I guess, what's the running back from Buffalo? He's a cool story. That's not going to be a real thing. I think it's got to come down to Mac and Trask. I think it comes down to that game. That doesn't mean, I mean, I don't know. If either one of them has a terrible game between now and then, maybe that becomes a factor too. But I think that's going to be the last thing on people's minds before they vote.
So I kind of wonder how much because the only thing that Mac is really trailing in is touchdowns, right? Yardage is very, very similar. It's less than 100 yards one way or the other. You know, Trask has a little bit lower completion percentage. It's still fantastic. So before Florida fans jump on me, it's 71%, which is still fantastic. Mac Jones is 76, which is really even more absurd that they're both way over 70. So everything is very, very similar. Yards per attempt goes a little bit closer to Jones, but like you said, it's an 11 touchdown difference. And realistically, you know, in a best case scenario, by the time they get to Atlanta, I think that could maybe be down to 8. Maybe Mac Jones could close in by 3 more. Or do they play one more game or do they play 2? I could be way off here.
Who? Alabama?
Oh, the Arkansas game is going to get rescheduled. Yeah, so they'll play 2
more.
So there's, you know, my thinking there is in a cold, wet, rainy, nasty game this weekend against Tennessee on the road, you know, maybe Trask goes for 3 and Mac Jones goes for 4 against Arkansas or LSU because they're pretty terrible. And then maybe the same thing, you know, LSU, you know, maybe that last week Trask goes for 4. So maybe like the difference could be like 7 or 8. And then I think that it really comes down to what the, and I'm not even projecting that could be it because Trask could easily go out and throw 5 this weekend because Tennessee's still just terrible. But like in a best case scenario for Mac Jones, maybe he cuts the touchdown difference to like 8. And then I think he needs to really outplay Trask in Atlanta, which with the way that Alabama's defense is playing right now and Florida's defense is playing right now, that might be possible. I don't know. But I think that if Trask goes out and throws 5 touchdowns and Florida loses 42-45 and Mac Jones only throws like 2 touchdowns. Yeah,
there's definitely a possibility that
if he gets to like an insane number of, you know, like, you know, Kyle Trask severely outplays Mac Jones, I think he could still win it.
Yeah.
Although it's an individual award, but it's always gone to the, you know, the best player on the best
most
team.
Most of the time it goes to the best player on the best team.
If Trask just keeps putting up numbers, if he throws 5 touchdowns a game the next 3 games, I think he wins it. No matter, you know, unless, well, they couldn't get blown out if he scores 35.
Mac Jones has an interesting thing that's working against him, and that essentially is that Alabama is so dominant that it's very difficult to have that Heisman moment when you're always heavily favored, right? There has not been a game where Alabama has been really particularly close outside of the Ole Miss game, which, you know, became a track meet and Alabama pulled away at the end. There hasn't been a moment for Mac Jones that I would call his Heisman moment because there hasn't had to be one, basically, which isn't fair to him because you've blown everybody out, you don't get to win the Heisman because you didn't have your Heisman moment. But I think that Trask beating Georgia, Florida getting that monkey off their back is kind of it's cumulative. It's not a single play, but is kind of his Heisman moment. And I do think that will be something that factors into people's minds, which isn't fair to Mac Jones at all. I'm definitely not saying that it is.
Could that be in Atlanta though?
It could be in Atlanta, but I'm just saying so far, I think that's part outside of the touchdown, you know, total differences. Everything else is relatively equal. I think that's it though. I think that right now that's part of it. And that sucks for Mac Jones, because there's literally zero he could do about that. But I don't know. I think that everybody looks for that Heisman moment. I think Trask beating Georgia is that for him so far. Mac Jones could still have one in Atlanta. Kyle Trask could still have one in Atlanta. If Kyle Trask goes to Atlanta and beats Alabama, I don't think anybody else has a chance with the Heisman. Like, it's not going to be close in voting if that were to happen. But
as long as they don't lose a game before then.
Correct,
I think
yes, absolutely.
If he was to like play a stinker and have like 3 picks in a game they lose against Tennessee, then
sure,
pretty much ends.
I'm just making the assumption that they win getting there.
Yeah, in that scenario, if they lose to Tennessee, they're probably not beating Alabama.
Yes, I would say that's a fair statement as well. So, I don't know that they're beating Alabama anyway, and this is not me saying that they're going out there and they're gonna.
Jones is, I mean, Jones was pretty spectacular against Georgia as well. He threw for 400 plus yards and 4 touchdowns, but it just happened so early in the year.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Like if that game would have been this week, I think that would kind of be considered a Heisman moment. It's tough to have a Heisman moment in week 3,
Yeah. Well, and they were expected to beat Georgia. And that's and that makes it harder, too. It makes it harder to have a Heisman moment when you're the favorite.
It was a close spread, though. The closest spread that I've seen Alabama have at home in forever.
Yeah, clearly it was off.
So I couldn't imagine being somebody that picked them. So,
yeah.
So I'm very interested to see what happens when, you know, again, I think Trask goes out and throws three or four touchdowns this week. I think Jones does the same thing. I think it ends up being like staying right where it is. Let's just call it a 10 touchdown difference. And then we have it. I don't want to jump way ahead, but if we were doing a way too early preview on the SEC championship, I feel like it's a game that Florida, I think it'll be a lot like the LSU game. I don't think Florida will start slow. I think they'll get things figured out. I think it'll be a lot like the LSU game was last year, where Florida is in it the entire time and makes one mistake that lets Alabama kind of close the door. And that's kind of how I would see the game going down now. We're 3 weeks out. Who knows? That's not a slam on Florida before people get upset about that. I'm not using any words like padded or anything that you guys should freak out about. I think Florida will be right there in the game. If you had to say which team do I think makes a mistake, you know, I'm not taking Alabama to make a mistake.
A famous
podcaster that I talk with daily said that she's never betting against Nick Saban. So, I mean, you know, that's
I know it's going to be, it would be very hard for me to pick against Nick Saban. And it more than likely will come down to a mistake here or there that doesn't bode well for Florida, because I don't think that Alabama really makes mistakes. Alabama acts like they've been there before because they have. There's nobody on this Florida team who will have played in anything remotely close to the caliber of game that's going to happen outside of the people on this coaching staff that have been there before. It is going to be a whole new experience for this team. They're going to have to grow up fast in terms of big game experience. And that does scare me because I think this becomes a track meet and a mistake is, you know, somebody's going to make a mistake somewhere. That's going to play a role in this. I do think it's a track meet though.
Yeah, no, I expect, you know, I expect Florida to be right there. It would shock me. I can see it go. Yeah, just kind of like that LSU game last year, kind of like the Georgia game against Alabama this year, where it's close going to the fourth quarter, and then you know Alabama kind of pulls ahead. I mean, that's what they do to everyone, right? They either beat you by 30, or they you know let you keep it kind of close, and then you know take over at the end. So I don't think that's like a, you know, I think that. You know, I mean, Alabama's my pick to win it all. I mean, they're my favorite to win it all. You know, and I feel fairly confident on that, you know, so, you know, so we'll see. What do we have?
I want to talk a little bit about Ohio State.
Oh, I'm here for this.
Okay. So listen, I do not think that Ohio State should get invited to the playoffs if they, maybe even if they play the rest of the season out and it still happens, but certainly not if they don't make it to the Big Ten championship game. I think, and this honestly actually isn't about Ohio State. It's about the Big Ten. I think the College Football Playoff Committee should send a message to the Big Ten that you don't get to not work with your peers, come up with your own set of rules, try to impose them on everybody else. That doesn't work. You call off the season in general. You backtrack because everybody else is figuring out how to make this happen and you look like a jackass. But you come up with rules that make it so difficult to actually implement that you've put yourself in a position where your number one team, basically the whole reason your team is your conference is playing football at all this season, is on the brink of not getting in because they don't have enough games. I honestly think that a message should be sent to them that you're not on an island on your own. You don't rule college football. You don't get to act like you do. And next time, be a real team player with your other conferences.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be pretty insane if they do allow Ohio State into this thing. The rankings came out tonight. Did you see them?
No, I haven't seen them yet. What are they?
So, number one, I know this is going to shock you, Alabama. I'm really just kind of like killing time because I'm trying to hurry up and get there. But Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State, Texas A&M, Florida, Cincinnati. And then a very underrated team, in my opinion, the Georgia Bulldogs. So, Ohio State's still currently sitting at number four. I didn't, maybe I should have prepared more for this, but I was on a podcast and then a work or then another call at 8:30. So I didn't hear the justification for that. But what I wonder is if they only play two more games and go 6-0, would they keep them in? Are they keeping them in now because the games haven't happened? And so it's not a, you know, that's the big thing is the ranking committee is not projecting what will happen later. If that was the case,
they're only supposed to do it up until today.
If the playoff was today, right, or tomorrow, right, what would you rank them?
Well, and I don't think I wouldn't put Ohio State four at this exact moment. Their only quality win so far is over Indiana. And, you know, through no fault of their own, through the rules of their conference, they haven't played as much as everybody else. And I don't think that they have as big a body of work they don't have as big a body of work to look at.
So the devil's advocate to that is the two games that they've had canceled. And I agree with you on that. I know that I'm breaking all the rules, but it's Christmas week or Christmas month and I'm trying to be nice, but I agree with you on that they have no quality wins. The devil's advocate to that is that the two games that were canceled were Maryland and Illinois.
Sure.
Two of the absolute bottom feeders in the Big Ten. And I'll just say this to be fair to Ohio State, because again, our beef is not so much with Ohio State as
with
the Big Ten.
No, it's with the conference. With Ohio State. They just happen to be the sacrificial lamb.
I agree with you on the fact that they don't have a quality win. I mean, they have a top 10 win against Indiana. I'll give them that. You know, they have they beat number 9 Indiana. I don't need to see them beat Maryland and Illinois to have a formed opinion on them. I'll say that.
But it's just a puzzle. I don't think that either one of those teams beats Ohio State, so it doesn't necessarily change anything from that perspective. But I still think it gives us a bigger body of work to look at, more holes to look for, or not, you know, maybe more film just showing that they're that much of a complete team. I just think it gives us more information.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. It also sets up an interesting dynamic of where is the line, right? If they would have gone 8-0 and then obviously won their Big Ten and won 9 games, you would have been okay with them being in.
Absolutely. In yep.
So would missing one game have changed that? Like if they'd have gone 7-0 and then won the Big Ten and to go 8-0, would that have been okay?
I think 7-0 is probably where my line is. And again, it's more about the conference than anything else because the conference could have played nice with everybody else. The conference could have gotten in an entire body of work. They chose not to, not based on science, based on their own agenda. And I think that's where my problem lies with this. There are going to be other teams that get in the correct number of games or very close to it. And I just feel like the Big Ten gave a very half-hearted effort at the end because honestly, I think they didn't think this season was going to be completed. So they felt like, oh, we'll just attempt something because it doesn't really matter. It's not fully going to happen anyway. And I think that they're probably very surprised that we've gotten to this point.
So yeah, I agree and disagree. Like I'm on both sides. I can agree that to screw the Big Ten, like they suck and I hate it. I don't know how much I agree with like the fact that also screws Ohio State, who didn't necessarily do anything wrong.
Ohio State didn't do anything wrong, but you can't teach the Big Ten a lesson without it punishing Ohio State. And I'm totally good with sacrificing Ohio State.
And that's where I kind of have a problem with it because, you know, they didn't do anything wrong. They did everything that they were supposed to do.
And they fought against their conference every step of the way because of this. But you don't get to be the bully and then be the benefactor of the other conferences who were doing things in a way that you didn't agree with that allowed for this playoff to even happen to begin with.
So and that's the part that I do agree with you on is that screw the Big Ten and the way they handled this and everything that's gone on with it. What makes it tough is the fact that objectively, if Ohio State runs through their next two opponents and beats the hell out of them, they would have played Northwestern in the championship. I don't need to see them beat Maryland and Illinois and then Northwestern to know that they, you know, what I'd love is for Ohio State to absolutely cut the trend. We couldn't
have anything any given Saturday. You know, we say, I don't need to see them play either one of these teams. And I understand the sentiment, and I think it would obviously be a long shot for Ohio State to lose either one of those games, but that's why we play the games. It's not a foregone conclusion. It's why these games are played, and you're not giving me the opportunity to see those happen. So therefore, you don't get a team in the playoffs. Sorry.
Yeah. Again, I agree. I wish there was a way that you could screw the Big Ten and not Ohio State. Not but that I love thing. Ohio State or anything State like that.
We'll be fine. Ohio State will be back the next year. It will not be a major thing for recruiting in terms of, you know, hurting them because they have the facilities, they have the coaching staff, have the ability.
So I think it sucks for the players.
It sucks for
Justin Fields. Like maybe this is my point. I'd rather see Ohio State and Alabama play than Texas A&M and Bama again. Or I'd rather see Ohio State and Bama play than Cincinnati and Bama. Like, I don't want to see that slaughter. Yeah, and so that's kind of to say,
all right, Cincinnati, you know what? You're in. You figured out a way to get all your games in.
You just want to troll the UCF fans that they got in first. So we know you have all the
benefit, not my intention.
Yeah.
Same thing as Dylan, I'm not padding the stats.
You're not padding the playoff. You just want
happens to be a benefit for it in there. But honestly, though, I don't know that I think it's fair to say we've seen four Ohio State games. We promise you that Ohio State team's better than this 7-0 Cincinnati team, which, you know, Cincinnati's going to play all their games. They're not going to have an issue with that. I don't know. I think I'd rather see Cincinnati, even if I don't think that it's going to be a better game. I think that doing things the right way during this matters.
Well, I argued for Cincinnati on the other podcast that I'm on, and I'm certainly just trying to buck the trend and argue Ohio State here so that whichever way ends up being right, I can just
kind of
share.
You can say you were right.
Like, oh, this is the way it happened. If you had to guess right now, who are your four playoff teams?
My four playoff teams are going to be, let's see, Clemson, Alabama, Florida, and Ohio State.
Man, look at you. So at least you were realistic with one thing. How much does Clemson beat Notre Dame by? Because that's the other factor in this. If Clemson just barely beats Notre Dame.
I think a lot. That's why I think that Notre Dame's not in. I think Clemson beats them by a lot.
So I think that would be an interesting one. Like Alabama and Clemson, you know, Tim, I know you put Florida in there, so you got them winning the SEC.
Yeah, I have Florida winning the SEC by like a squeaker.
But like everybody else that's not a homer has Alabama winning the SEC championship. And then so Alabama and Clemson are in. And then your fourth seed is going to be one of Notre Dame, Texas A&M, Cincinnati, or Ohio State.
Yeah, and I have a hard time putting Texas A&M in there only because of the way that they lost to Alabama. It's early in the season, and I am good with if you're going to have a loss, you lose early, but they didn't just lose. They got their butts kicked by Alabama. So that's a hard sell for me.
Yeah. I don't know. We had a podcast that was literally named the eye test or resume. And that's where that comes in, right? Like I believe, well, who's A&M's best? Oh, you guys, I was going to say who's their best win. But so is A&M's resume better than Cincinnati's?
Yes, probably.
And do you think that on a neutral field, A&M beats Cincinnati?
I do, but 52-24 is hard to wrap your head around.
I agree with that completely, but you just told me that Cincinnati has a worse resume and would lose to them on the eye test.
I agree with both of those things. Cincinnati,
and so you still put Cincinnati in.
I just, you know, when you win all the games that you have on your schedule.
UCF. All right, UCF.
But there's not like there's undefeated teams that you're putting in ahead of them. I don't know. It's a toss up. And I think honestly, none of them have a great, great argument for being there. You lose a game. It's hard to have, unless you lose really, really close. It's hard to have too big of an argument for why you belong, but 52-24 is, is not close in any way. There's no reason to see that score and think that if that game is played five more times, that the outcome is different for A&M.
Yeah, and A&M doesn't look impressive. They didn't look very good against LSU. I thought LSU played really, really well. It's tough to, when you watch one game by itself, I don't follow LSU super closely. But LSU's defense did look good. It was rainy. Mon didn't look good. I don't know if LSU has improved as the year has gone on or not, but they certainly looked better against A&M than I was expecting. And so, I mean, they're massive underdogs to come on, think. Oh, Bama this weekend. Yeah. But they held A&M's offense down to just 20 points. And before that, they beat Arkansas, who Arkansas isn't great, but they also beat the heck out of South Carolina right before they lost to Auburn. So they're just so hot and cold that, you know, they scored. It's so funny that, you know, they scored 41. They beat Vandy by 34, right? And then they scored 52 on South Carolina, and then they put up 11 points against Auburn. So it's just, you know, they are the most hot and cold team, but it'll be interesting to see. LSU's got two tough, really, 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 really tough games the next 2 weeks against two top six teams in the country. So, you know, I wonder, but again, going back to A&M, I just don't think A&M has been very impressive. And so that's going to hurt them. If they had beaten LSU by 40 points and then they go on to beat Auburn by 40 points and they win their last, you know, then that's, I think, when you kind of get in the argument of like, okay, well, they're beating the hell out of everybody they're playing right now. Like, maybe they are legit. Maybe we do need to put them in, but since they're not, I think it's pretty tough. So, I think what'll be really interesting. I'll give this. I think if Alabama beats Florida, which I expect, and then you have Clemson beat Notre Dame close, I think those two could get in. And then I think that fourth spot, I think that Ohio State's going to get it. So I think that would be, and I know that you don't like a couple of things in there. You obviously don't like Florida losing, don't like Ohio State staying in. But if I'm just being honest, I think that would be the best possible playoff. I think that an Alabama-Notre Dame playoff would be fun. I think Clemson-Ohio State rematch, which is what that would be.
I don't think anybody wants to see Clemson-Notre Dame for a third time. And I don't think that Notre Dame is better than Florida or Texas A&M.
No. I would have Notre Dame. They wouldn't play each other. I would have Notre Dame fourth because they lost their conference championship. They have to drop. And I have Clemson second. So Clemson would play Ohio State. We'd get the Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence rematch from last year, which I think would be fantastic. And then I think Bama Notre Dame would be fun. Bama's defense isn't very good. I think Notre Dame would hang with them for like a half.
A quarter, maybe. Bama would beat the pants off of Notre Dame. But I don't. Notre Dame Alabama is not a better game than Notre Dame than Alabama Florida or Alabama Texas A&M. And I don't think.
Florida and Alabama aren't going to play each other in the first round of the playoff either way.
No, I mean, I know that, but I'm just saying, I don't know. I think
Bama and Notre Dame.
Notre Dame shouldn't be in that discussion. And
I disagree on A&M. I think Notre Dame is a better team than Texas A&M and would not lose 54-20 or whatever you said that score was. I don't. Especially the way they played LSU this weekend. Oh, God, they were just pathetic. So A&M only puts that
many points
up. I don't think Notre
Dame's very good. I think that the ACC is garbage, and so it makes Notre Dame look a little better than they would otherwise.
Notre Dame put up like 40 points on Clemson, you know, with Lawrence being out, but he doesn't play DB. So, you know.
I don't know. I don't think Clemson is as good as they've been in previous years either. That doesn't mean they're not great, but.
Yeah, I'm not very impressed with Texas A&M.
Here's my thing with Ohio State too.
Texas A&M only puts up a lot of points on really, really bad defenses. So,
Ohio State,
that was a joke. It was true.
If Ohio State plays their next two games and then plays in the conference championship game, I think that it will be hard to keep them out. I don't really like it. I don't like the idea that they will have seven to everybody else's, 10 games. But I think that that will happen. If Ohio State doesn't get in one of these next two games, though, they won't go to the Big Ten championship game, which means their sole, marquee win is Indiana. And if that happens, I don't think Ohio State is in.
I don't think that they're going to go to the Big Ten championship, but that's just my, you know.
So you're predicting right now, that one of the next two games doesn't happen?
No. Do they get in with just the six games they have?
Yes. They have to have a minimum of six games. So they have to play their next two to be eligible. But I thought they were saying that this game this weekend is potentially in jeopardy because of contact tracing for whatever the problem was last week.
So I think they flipped it to where they play Michigan State this weekend and Michigan next week. Is that not right?
I don't know. I'm about to pull it up.
So week 14, they play. They play Michigan State. So maybe that was their way kind of around that, like get that one done and then you play Michigan last. So hopefully they do play Michigan, because I agree with that. Like if they were to lose, so what would happen is if they were to lose one more game, they'd really lose two more games and they'd be 5-0, right? So at 5-0, I don't think so. At 7-0, I think I'm okay with them getting in. In that situation,
yeah,
it was really just those two teams we talked about, and I'm okay with it. I'm okay with them putting Liberty in as well if they just want to pull that up.
Well, I don't love it, but I totally see why Ohio State would be in if the next two get in and they play the conference championship game. But
especially if our option is Texas A&M or Cincinnati, like I'm taking Ohio State over either one of those teams without a question. You know?
Yeah.
And then the argument becomes, you know, depending on how much they lose by Notre Dame, A&M, Cincinnati. To me, Notre Dame's brand probably gets them in if it's a close loss. If not,
yeah, I don't think it's going to be a close loss. But yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. So Ohio State, basically, what is to watch is what happens with contact tracing for this week, because the Big Ten has such stringent rules compared to everybody else. I think that what it is that the team's not allowed to get over 5%, which if we're talking about 110 person team, 115, whatever, when you're including walk-ons, you're literally talking about six players. So that's not a lot to warrant a cancellation. Essentially, that's not what any other conference is doing. So it'll be interesting to see, because this isn't something usually where you test positive one week and then you test negative the next week. They lose another one. I don't think they survive three canceled games.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, I could still see them getting in just because of their name, but I don't think they should. I think they should. I don't know about should, but it's weird. Everything's weird. They should have scheduled 10 games in the Big Ten, and
they should have done what everybody else did instead of just
playing like everybody else did.
Yeah,
but they should have scheduled 10 games, because then you have two canceled and it's not a big deal.
Well, right? Like, and they should have scheduled it over a longer period of time so that they had wiggle room, because they didn't allow for a single game to be made up. But then they also made it so that a game would be canceled when every other conference would play with six players with COVID, no issues. They would cancel their game, and not only cancel they haven't adhered to this, but they're supposed to, if a team gets over 5% positive, they're supposed to close everything for 21 days. That is what the Big Ten agreed to. That is the rules that they put out. They haven't done that because, Ohio State's game last week was canceled because of positive tests, yet they so far are still playing this week, which means they're not following their own rules, which I'm fine with because that rule's stupid. But, they should have participated with everybody else, been a team player, come up with common ground rules that everybody could abide by, and then played this college football season.
I am in complete agreement. And
write it down. That never happens.
I think it's happened like three times. We can't even agree on when we agree. We didn't do picks last week because we weren't here, but we did picks 2 weeks ago. We both took Clemson. That game got canceled. We both took UF against Vandy. Neither of us hit that because Florida did not cover that spread. You took Indiana to cover the spread, and they did. I took UCF to cover 6.5. They did that. You took Cincinnati there. We both took Virginia Tech. They did not cover that 3.5 points. We both took Bama. We both hit it against Kentucky. I took Oklahoma. You took Oklahoma State. Oklahoma covered. And Neither of us got the UGA game right. They played a close game against Mississippi State, and we both got the Liberty game wrong. They covered the spread even though they lost the game. I went 4-for-8 on the week. You went 3-for-8, bringing our season totals to you are 33 of 72, and I am 35 of 72. So I guess that means 35 and 37. You are 33 and 39. So you're down by 2, but we got a lot of games this week to pick. I'm sure this will be the week you turn it around. Such an asshole thing to say. Oklahoma State is a 2.5-point favorite at TCU. I like Oklahoma State here.
I do too.
I've already written all mine in, so I'm not going to like read them all out loud first, but that will influence you. But I do like Oklahoma State here. Texas A&M is 6.5-point favorite at Auburn.
Interesting. I'll take Texas A&M.
I did the same. Ohio State is a 23.5-point favorite at Michigan State.
I'm going to take Michigan State. I think Ohio State wins, but I don't think that they cover the spread.
I think because they know what they have to do and because Ryan Day is trying to pad Justin Fields' stats, I think Ohio State covers this. Indiana is a 14.5-point dog at Wisconsin. Indiana's quarterback is out for the year. I like Wisconsin to cover this spread and win by a ton.
Yeah, I like Wisconsin as well.
Oregon was a double-digit favorite last week and lost to Oregon State. They are, again, a 9.5-point favorite at Cal. What do you like?
Give me Oregon.
I feel like you don't watch a lot of Pac-12.
I did watch like the Oregon State game.
It did not sound like a lot of confidence in either the pick.
Well, I haven't watched Cal, so that's – but I did watch Oregon. We have a friend that coaches for Oregon State that was our neighbor when he coached for USF here. So we closet cheer for Oregon State at the moment. So that's the only reason I watched that game.
Alabama is a 28.5-point favorite over LSU. This was the same spread that it was a couple of weeks ago when the game got canceled. We both took Bama then. Do you like Bama still?
I do.
In the second biggest game.
Did you take Bama again?
I took Bama. Sorry. Yeah. I'd already moved on. Can't stay focused. In the second biggest game of the week, for you anyway, UF is a 16.5-point favorite at Tennessee. They have burned us the last 2 weeks and not covered the spread. I'm a little surprised that the spread is this close. I think that probably has to do with the weather and them kind of expecting it to be a little bit more low scoring. I just don't feel like you ever pick against Florida, so I don't know why I try and hype this pick up, but go ahead.
Nope, picking Florida.
I took UF as well. I promise I had that written down before. But yeah, I think that spread's just too low. I think that if it was like, if it was 24.5, like it was, you know, against Kentucky, I think I would have taken, or was it 24.5? I don't remember.
I think it was 24. I think that's 24.
But if it was that high, I think that line is a little bit more dangerous, but I think this line is too low. I think Florida should be a 20-point favorite against Tennessee, and so I'll take Florida here. And in the game of the week, College Game Day is heading to Coastal Carolina, who is a 7-point favorite against Liberty. I like Liberty.
Give me Liberty.
And I like them to win the game. I'll wager all my points on them winning the game, Bob. Or whatever. No, that'd be Alex Trebek. All right, so those are the picks this week. We are recording this super late at night. I have to go do my Elf on the Shelf now and then go to bed.
Yeah, me too.
But this will come out in the morning, and hopefully everybody enjoys it. If not, you can send all complaints and cusses to Allie, because I don't have time for it. So she has time to – she has nothing to do. She has time to argue with you on Twitter. So anything else before we get out of here?
No, I think that's about it.
All right. Well, everybody have a good night, good day whenever you listen to this. Thanks for all of your support, and we'll talk to you next week.